Hey, what's good, everybody? This is your man, Jerry, from the Hype Magazine. We're here today with a dope live session. We've got my man, DNA. He is from West Africa. He put together this mad piece called The World Cup of Hip-Hop. Traveled all over the world, Brazil, Colombia, Jamaica, you know what I mean? And the piece garnered any consideration for best interactive piece. Thanks for being with us today, man.
Yo, thank you so much, Jerry, for having me. I really appreciate it. And I love the intro. You nailed it.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Man, let's find out, man, more about who is Derek N. Ashong, a.k.a. DNA.
No doubt.
So, looking in, who are you?
So, in a nutshell, I'm an artist and I'm an entrepreneur. My background is in music and in film and in television. At the same time, I've always been very much at the intersection of sort of how these things meet with technology. So I've done a lot of different tech projects, open source related projects and whatnot. But at a more fundamental level, you know, as you mentioned, I was born in West Africa. I was born in Ghana. When I was a little kid, I moved to Flatbush, Brooklyn. And when I was 8, I moved to the Middle East. And I lived in the Middle East for 8 years, Saudi Arabia and Qatar. So then I came back here for the last years of high school, went overseas again, came back to college. I mean, basically, I moved every 4 years to a new country from the time I was born until I was 20. So I guess you could say I'm an Afropolitan. I really see the world through a global view.
Wow. That's pretty dope. I mean, that, you know, the moving, if you're a military brat, we understand about moving every couple of years. But
yeah.
What had you guys moving around? Was it internal struggles and strife in the regions or?
You know, you hit it. I mean, basically, it's interesting to me hearing all the debates about immigration in the country right now, as well as the debates around migrants and refugees in Europe, coming from the Middle East, coming from North Africa, et cetera, because a lot of times people don't think about the human side of what's going on. So from my perspective, I'm fortunate I didn't grow up in a war-torn country. At the same time, we did have a military coup in Ghana. My father had come out here to do advanced medical training. He was the first of 10 kids to go to college. And we came to join him after about a year and a half. But while he had been gone, there had been a coup d'etat in Ghana. When we got here, there was another one. Things were bloody. They were disappearing people, especially well-educated people who, you know, might disagree with the new military government. And so we couldn't go home. They were not welcoming to people who had left, and it was not safe. So we moved to Saudi Arabia in search of freedom, so to speak. And the reason I bring up the immigration issue is because, you know, we could have done another thing, which is like, you know, try to find some way to stay or maybe overstay the visa or whatever. My parents did not do that. But when I look at people, whether they're documented or undocumented, I can think about like, wow, but for a couple of decisions here and there, that could be me. And I spent 8 years in the Middle East, and I was there during the Gulf War. I used to go to school with a gas mask, the whole nine. So I think that from my perspective, you know, global events have very, very granular impacts on people and people's families, and there are reasons why people travel. Sometimes it's not by choice.
You know, that's true. I have been a witness to some of the situations and issues around the world, from Somalia to Bosnia to Southwest Asia, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so it's always interesting to me to find out why other people have moved around. And you've been blessed not to be personally affected in a negative, violent sense, you know, by the stress and strife, you know. But, I mean, you made it through that, born in a house with no running water. You yourself made it to Harvard and went on to work with Oprah Winfrey, Steven Spielberg, Dave Stewart of the Eurythmics. I mean, and then, you know, here we have this showcase that hits the streets of the world, you know, from an artist's eye view, and thus we have Take Back the Mic, the World Cup of Hip Hop. Talk to me about that.
So it's really interesting because, you know, a year ago, like the summer of 2014, I basically quit my job and I launched a tech startup. Was very fortunate to get some seed funding from an executive at Facebook, put together a team that was really dope, like a CTO is from Google. You know, we had cats from Amex and HBO and the DNC come on board to really build something that was unique in the way in which it would recognize and reward fans for being a part of propagating and sharing amazing music. We started with music, but then we expanded. So what Take Back the Mic was, it's funny because we had always had this idea of like, oh, man, what would it be like if you could just see like global hip hop through the eyes of the artists around the world? At the same time, you know, you go to pitch a TV network and you're like, yo, I want to go around the world. I want to talk to these people who don't speak English. I want to see their communities and the stuff that the places Anthony Bourdain won't go. And I want to present it to the planet for my generation. And they're like, nobody's going to buy that. So we basically had to do it on our own. And what happened is we built this technology and we're like, how do we test it? And we're like, yo, we need to show how it works with original content, with great content. So we know a lot about building amazing content. A couple of us had Emmy nominations before, so we're like, why don't we make our own thing, and why don't we make it this dream we had from years ago of Take Back the Mic? So all we did is we created this competition. The artists put up their music. The fans in all these cities across the hemisphere started sharing it. You can't really vote for somebody on Ampit. All you can do is listen and share. And the technology is built so that it can tell you listen to 20% of the song and we are not going to get you no points. Or you listen to like 100% of the points of the song. Okay, you're going to get a score. And basically we could see through that which artists had the most engagement, not just the fans that would click, click, click all day, but the artists who people were really vibing with and interfacing with. And based on that, we said, the top three artists in each country, we're going to go down there and we're going to tell their story with a professional film crew. And that became the series Take Back the Mic. So it's a competition, but when you watch the episodes, it's almost like a travel show for the next generation. It's like you get to see the streets of Medellin or Rio, São Paulo, or Kingston through the eyes of the artist. And it's 100% curated, decided, greenlit by the fans.
You know, I had heard a while back about the concept of Ampit, and I knew that it was coming soon. However, this is actually my first interaction with it. And so, obviously, I logged in with Facebook and tied in my Facebook, looked at the whole thing, and I was like, wow, what a unique concept. And I like it. Because you can't really rig the numbers. It's either somebody listened to it and liked it and shared it, or they just flat out didn't. And
exactly. It's black and white like that. Like, hey, people were actually engaged with your stuff, or they weren't. And that's all we need to know. Because part of the problem is right now, you know, we're all inundated with content. Like somebody's hitting me up on Twitter, yo, check out my song, or look at my video, or watch my this, or this and that. And I feel for the artist because I'm an artist. It's like, how do you get heard? And what Ampit does is it enables artists and fans to align their interests. So whether you're, initially a musician or producer, but now also increasingly filmmakers and documentarians and people like that, if your fan base believes in your work, the more they propagate it, the higher you rise through various different charts. When you go in there, you'll see certain charts. But depending on where you are, you may see a different chart. And it will literally enable you to get more easily discovered by other fans who believe in what you do. One of the coolest things about Take Back the Mic is every single artist that was made it to the final. Well, first of all, every artist that participated was better known at the end than when they got started. But every artist who made it to the final, you know, one from Brazil, one from Jamaica, one from Colombia, all of them were approached by major companies for sponsorships. All of them had major mainstream media attention in their home country. The band that won, we met them in a favela in outside of Rio. 60 days later, down the front cover of the national newspaper. And that's just from engagement from the fans. That's no publicist. That's no marketing company. That's no studio. And it told us that, yo, there really is something powerful if you can harness those creative people and those who love the creativity to work together.
Well, you know, it's funny when you talk about, because that's as organic as it gets, in my opinion. If fans elevate you as opposed to some voting committee elevating you, and that, to me, speaks of people who will put their butts in seats to buy a ticket for a performance.
Exactly.
You know, somebody who will spend their 99 cents for a download. And so what just came out of this, as you explained it, is so now the Hype magazine is going to tie in with you guys, and we're going to take your finalists from each country, and we're going to do a piece.
That's dope. I love it. I love it.
This is so killer. I mean, the world, we always talk about hip-hop being a global community.
Yeah.
And so now I just want to support what you've done by providing some editorial support as well for those artists. It's going to be weird, but we'll figure it out.
No doubt. No, fam, I really appreciate that, because I'll tell you, one of the craziest things in this process is seeing what these artists go through. And, you know, so part of what's happened with hip-hop in the U.S., like, I'm a musician myself. I'm an MC, a guitarist, I play bass, I produce the whole nine. So I don't really have a dog in the fight of what people talk about. I think that an artist should be free, say what you say, do what you do. At the same time, I'm also acutely aware of what happens in the industry. And what's happened largely in the industry over the last 25 years is it's gotten to a point where they're like, yo, we're going to sell stuff to, like, urban communities, and we're going to figure out what works, then we're going to sell it to a mainstream audience. And so they pick artists who are taking an approach that they think can be mainstream, but that is not always truly representative of the community the artists come from. And what winds up happening is that everybody talk about guns, everybody talk about girls, everybody talk about money, whether they got it or not. And if you're in the industry, you understand more so why a lot of the artists don't have the money you think. And it starts to become repetitive. It's like, yo, I got guns, I got girls. Okay, that's cool. Everybody else has it too. When you go overseas and you see artists who don't have an industry that's trying to be like, oh, well, guns and girls will sell to teenage boys in Poughkeepsie and in Cleveland, so, you know, let's go with that. These artists are literally singing just for the love of it. And the stuff that they do is so powerful. It's so crazy. So for you to be willing to tell the stories of some of these artists who are world class, like, it's not like they're slackers and we were like, oh, well, let's just uplift the poor, hungry children of Colombia. These kids are beasts. You know, to be willing to give them that platform, which so many are not, is really beautiful. And that's why we did this, to show that, yo, there are voices in hip-hop that you haven't heard that are representing the essence of what we all fell in love with so long ago. And hip-hop is very much alive, and it is continuing to evolve. So thank you for that. I really, really appreciate it.
Oh, we're going to work it out. We're definitely going to work it out. I'm available. I'll work through the season, and because I know that you're busy. But we definitely want to make sure that we bring some added value. Plus, you know, like I said, everybody talks about the global community of hip-hop and what it's done. And Oz actually just did a documentary as well.
Yes, in Africa.
He was in Africa, and that was a, you know, very poignant piece.
Yeah.
So I would just like to, you know, support. And I believe that we go to these other countries and everybody's celebrating, you know, the four pillars of hip-hop, you know, the b-boy, graffiti, all of that, et cetera, et cetera. And
yep,
we've lost that here in the home country of hip-hop.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
You know, we get to shine the light back on hip-hop. And then we have, you know, knuckleheads like
Kevin Gates, who kicked fans in their face for touching them while they're performing. You know what I mean? So,
yeah. And you wouldn't be anywhere without those fans. Those fans make you possible.
They make you as an artist possible.
Exactly. And that right there is the reason we did Anthem. I mean, think about, you know, how the industry works today. Like, everybody's trying to do their thing. Everybody wants to get put on, et cetera. But there's an interesting dynamic with the advance of technology and the evolution of the industry. You know, today, you could make it without a record label. You can make it without a publicist. You can make it without a marketing agency or a mainstream radio campaign. The one thing that you cannot make it as a musician without is fans. If you ain't got fans, you ain't got nothing. And basically, the industry is not very good at recognizing the value of those fans. And so to put it in context, so what we did with Take Back the Mic is it wasn't just that the winning artist, you know, the top artist in each country won a trip to Miami to be at this huge finale on Miami Beach, you know, with this mega, the biggest tech conference in Florida, sold out venue, blah, 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 mentored by DJ Maceo of De La Soul. It was all that, yes. But arguably more importantly, the top three highest scoring bands on Ampit also won the trip to Miami, also came to the finale at the sold out jam. Also got to sit down one-on-one with Maceo and ask questions and get the wisdom and get the photo taken and just kick it with a legend in the game. You know what I'm saying? It was like we wanted to recognize that none of us are possible without the fans. So if the artist wins, if we win, the fans win too. And that's what makes Ampit different.
You know, man, that is such a killer, man. Not many things make me speechless, but you know, that your brain who actually execute this type of planning, this type of global, I mean, oh my God, this is massive. It tells everybody this is what we can do if we pull it together. You know,
exactly.
Everybody brings something to the table. The fans, you're going to show that you're really a fan and that you're supportive and rock it out. The art,
yeah.
You know, make great art and
exactly.
You know, engage with your fans, get their support, earn their support, you know, and
exactly.
Then we all pull together and the industry recognizes talent because it's not just, you know, not just the trap artists here in America that are doing it. It's not just, you know, the R&B artists here in America that are doing it. It's really global. And,
yes.
You know, one of my favorite DJs is Gans, and he's from the Netherlands. You know what I mean?
Word.
And no disrespect to DJ Premier, who, of course, is the best producer in the world.
Word.
But Gans, by far, is my favorite DJ. I search him out.
Wow.
So that's just I'm just loving what you did. It's such a massive, of such massive proportions, and we – The Hype Magazine just wants to rock with you on that because we want to positive. We want to show stories of intestinal fortitude. These guys, what is
yes.
it that keeps you going day to day? Hip hop.
It's hip hop. And this is one. This one kid said, like, you know, he was this MC in Medellin said to us, he's like, yo, you know, la música fue la salvación de mi vida. You know, music was the saving of my life, saved my life, basically. Music saved my life. And you look at him, and he's talking, and, you know, his rhymes are about all kinds of topics. And as you talk to him, you're like, oh, this kid comes from a hard background. And then you ask him, like, so what's your story? He's like, oh, well, you know, after the last 6 times I was shot, you know, I really decided I had to get out of the hustle and try to focus more on my art. And you're like, you got shot 6 times. He's like, yeah, he pulls up his shirt. And you can see in the episode, he's pointing to all the wounds that he has. Now, this kid is not going to get street cred from having been shot. He's not going to get a record deal because, oh, he's the real. This kid is lucky to be alive. And when you hear him sing, when you hear his voice, when you hear him flow, it's like, you got to be kidding me. Are you for real? I mean, hip-hop is alive and well, my dude. It is alive and it is thriving. And I think that it's like what you said about how, you know, it came out of here and it's kind of lost its way, and maybe there's a way we could emphasize what's happening with these people overseas. But what those people overseas are doing can also reinvigorate us back in the home base, where we realize, like, no, man, like, this kid feels like hip-hop saved his life. Like, he put down his weapons. He's not out there rapping to kids about, yo, you know what I'm saying, I'm buck shots. He's like, yo, this is me. This is for Medellin. This is for Colombia. This is for the real. This is for art. Art is life. And that is powerful. Art is life. And I think that what we've been able to do with the help of people like yourself, because this whole thing has been very, very grassroots. You know, we didn't go out and raise a venture capital round. We had a seed investor who believed in us. And then the rest of it came from our peoples. And we were able to make a production and a platform from scratch. This time last year, there was nada. We didn't have any of this. And yet last night, we were literally at an event for Emmy nominees here in L.A. And we're just so honored. We had no idea, except that when we finished the piece, we didn't even promote it. But someone in the Academy was like, let me see what you did. And she saw one of these pieces and was like, you have to submit for the Emmys. And that's the only way it happened. It's literally people helping one by one by one by one to get us this far. And next year, we're kicking it up to a whole nother level.
Oh, man, next year, the Hype Magazine wants to be a part of that.
That's real.
I know that everybody's going to want a piece of it. You know what I mean? And they should, you know,
yeah.
Want a piece of it. I mean,
I feel like everybody can have a piece of it. And what you're going to see, and, you know, we'll talk about this off the air, but what's happening with the technology is going to give you a piece of it. It's going to make it so that Hype Magazine can really be a player in the evolution of the show and in determining and having the fans decide what gets seen and what gets heard. And there's a whole way that we're not announcing what it is we've actually built. We just show what you see with Amp. It's like what you see is what you get. What you don't see is what you're going to get next. And it's really cool. And I think it's going to make it possible for a lot more people to have a much greater voice in their artistry, whether it's hip-hop, whether it's rock and roll, country music, whether it's documentaries, whether it's music videos, whether it's any type of content where you're telling a story that needs to get straight to your fans unfiltered. That's what we're about.
Man, I salute you for what you've done, Derek. I salute your entire team. Because it is a team effort, obviously, to make something as epic as this happen. Is there anything that you might want to cover about the project that I have neglected to ask?
You know, I will say one thing that I think has been really beautiful about this whole endeavor, and that has been realizing the power of beginning, you know, the power of just do it. Like, literally, it was a concept. We had an idea for a technology. We had an idea for a show. We brought those ideas together. And I was told by a number of very smart and good people whom I respect that you can't do that. Like, you need to pick one and don't try to do it all. And then there were a couple of people who were like, you know what? That is crazy enough that it could work. And if you're going to do something, just do it. Like, go for it. And the thing that I want to say so that your listeners understand is, you know, we weren't successful in this because we're so genius or because we're so connected or because we got so much bank, or we got so much clout. Mind you, yes, we have done a lot of powerful stuff. Yes, we know a number of influential people. Yes, we can make certain phone calls which will get returned. But that wasn't why I succeeded. The reason it succeeded is because, despite all of what was stacked against us, we decided that we were going to ride together, a very small crew of us. And then we figured out what would it take to succeed. And then we decided we would accept nothing less than success. And that's what made it happen. And so for somebody who's listening right now who's got their big idea or a project that they want to do or some dream or vision, you know, what I would say to people is I wouldn't even say keep dreaming. I would say what my dad told me, which is stay woke. When you're asleep, you have dreams, but when you're awake, you have vision. And if you have vision, you can take steps to making it a reality. And I've never been so inspired by having the experience of doing something that even I didn't know if I could do. And we did it. You know, the girl who won, the number one fan on the whole project, was a 14-year-old girl from Aranjuez, which is one of the deepest hoods of Medellin, Colombia. Her first ever trip outside of the country was a trip with her dad to Miami to be with her favorite band at the finale of Take Back the Mic, because she played
and dancing.
She
was dancing.
Dancing and kicking it. You know what I'm saying? Just loving it. And that was possible because we dreamed bigger than who we are. And then we woke up and we made that dream a reality.
Man, you know, it's interesting that you put it that way because last week I was on the phone with Matthew Knowles. And his quote in his close out, when I asked the same question, he was saying to me, he says, if you have an idea that you present to people and enough people tell you that it's crazy and you can't do it, you probably have a great idea.
Word up.
And you should rock with it.
Word up.
Possibly, yeah. So, I mean, that conversation, this conversation just tied in magnificently, you know, and the DNA of, you know, it's pretty much the DNA of people who make it happen. What is the makeup? Take the vision, as you said, you know, stay awake, take your vision, execute it, and really your validation is if enough people tell you you can't do it or it's crazy, you're probably onto something awesome. And
absolutely. Because think about it. Like, if the way to being great was to do what everybody else was doing, then everybody would be great. The path to greatness is to do what everybody else isn't willing to.
That's the
only way
so
to stand
on
out.
Board with that. So on board with that. So on board with that. All right. So look, let's share with everybody how they can find out more about Amp It and
Word.
Take Back the Mic, the World Cup of Hip Hop, and what else is you know, let's start with that because I it's an awesome platform.
Thank you.
And let's let them know how they can get involved in with the platform.
Absolutely. You can go directly to Amp It, A-M-P, like amplify, A-M-P.I-T. There's no .com, .co, .nothing. It's A-M-P.I-T. Go to www.amp.it, log in with Facebook, and you can go right in and you can see a chart of the top artists and the top fans. If you click on any one of those artists, you will get to hear and see the music. There will also be a button up there that says Take Back the Mic. You click on that Take Back the Mic button, and it will take you to all the videos, 9 stories we shot of 5 different cities in 3 countries from the perspective of 9 different artists. And it will show you our world in a way that you may not have seen it before. And we hope that if you like the artist, you click that Amp button, it'll send a notification to your Facebook and your Twitter, and you've now introduced your friends to something they hadn't heard before. And that's what this is all about, the power of the people to spread the word about stuff that matters.
You mentioned Twitter. I didn't see a connection with Twitter, but I did see the connection with Facebook, which is how I logged in and joined the network. Why did you choose Facebook as opposed to any of the other social media outlets?
So that's great. There's 2 simple questions. 1, Facebook was the biggest one. 2, our first supporter was the former VP of engineering at Facebook. So when we started and we had questions about the platform and integration, we called him up and we were like, yo, VP of engineering, who should we talk to? He's like, oh, talk to Joey. Like, literally, like, I mean, he introduced us to the head of worldwide marketing at Facebook, and we went to her and we're like, we're thinking about doing this. What do you think? And she was like, that's crazy. You have to do it. And so it's just like Facebook showed us a lot of love, a lot of support in the very beginning when we had nothing. And so we're like, that's where we're doing the integration because that's where the love is and that's where we can get started more quickly. The Twitter integration, we did it afterwards. And so if you log into your account, you go to edit profile, it'll have a little place where you can add your Twitter information. In the next few months, we'll be making that more obvious so people know, like, oh, no, I can add my Twitter on here as well. And then if you do that, it'll blast to both platforms whenever you send out, when you send an app, when you app something. And the way it works is when you listen to a song or watch a video, you get points. If you amp something, you get points too. And so over time, depending upon how engaged you are and what you're engaging with, your point bank rises. And at the end of the year, we're going to start levels. And those levels will get you access and opportunities and all kinds of cool things, depending upon whether you're a fan, a promoter, a tastemaker, a VIP, or a mogul in the game. And ultimately, AMP becomes a way to literally recognize who are the best fans worldwide. And that's the dream that we're working to bring to reality.
Wow. It's so awesome. Man, is there anything else that you would like to add before we end the recording?
I want to thank you, Jerry. I really appreciate you bringing us on here, talking about this, diving into the technology, checking out the content, having an open mind. The kids sitting in Portuguese, you don't even know what they're saying, but you know they got skills. You know, it means a lot that you would be willing to take a stand for global hip-hop, and this is just the beginning.
Hey, it's so awesome to have the opportunity to be a part of it editorially, whatever way we can support. You know what I mean? The Hype Magazine is there. Once again, everybody, we have had Mr. Derek N. Ashong, a.k.a. DNA. He's not only an artist, but he's a visionary. He's awake all the time. I think he's asleep when he's dead. I think that's his motto. And
don't sleep.
Hey, D, no sleep. We're talking about 2015 Emmy contender, Take Back the Mic. They were recognized, in the jury category of original interactive programming. They crossed the globe, went into places that most would not go for the sake of telling a story that needed to be told. And we really appreciate it. Thank you so much. I'm going to stop the recording. Stand by.
All right.